Every creator needs a Storyblocks membership. Their ever-growing library consists of 4K HD footage, After Effects, and Premiere Pro templates, music, images, sound effects, and so much more. Storyblocks Restock Initiative is here to change the landscape of stock media by partnering with BIPOC and LGBTQI+ creators. Their Queer Spaces and Faces initiative will feature 6 new contributors from the LGBTQI+ community, each creating a collection that features their community authentically and relatably. Explore their library and subscribe today at storyblocks.com/friendzone. That's storyblocks.com/friendzone.
Are you feeling weighed down by expectations? Let them go so you can live your very best life. In Live Free, New York Times bestselling author Devon Franklin teaches the secret to true freedom. Oprah Winfrey says Devon Franklin is a different kind of spiritual teacher for our times. Live Free, Exceed Your Highest Expectations is available now in hardcover, audiobook, and ebook.
It's a new year, and it's time for new possibilities. And boy, do we ever need them. Cricket Wireless can help you make the easy switch to the mobile plan that's right for you, starting at $30 a month. Smile and switch to Cricket. Activation and other fees apply and restrictions apply. Terms subject to change. See store for details.
Welcome to the Friend Zone.
Every time I'm in the zone.
My name is Dustin.
I'm Francesco, also known as Hey Friend Hey.
My name is Asante.
This is the Friend Zone.
Let's start the show. I'm in the zone. All of my business belongs to me.
Somebody
say church. Mind your business. Mind your business.
And tell your friends.
Mind your business.
Tell a co-worker some more.
Mind your business.
She better sing.
Yeah, she better sing, and she also better kick the truth to the young black youth, because let me tell you something. That was a message to all the people who, I got a lot of messages about our show last week. All good, but some prying, you know what I'm saying? Like,
uh-oh,
a lot of people were in my DMs asking me, you know, you was turned up on this episode, you know what I'm saying? Like, oh my God, from start to finish, like, you know what I'm saying? What was you drinking, or was you on, you know, whatever, fuck. So, okay,
I thought
it was only right if I came back to the show this week and reminded you motherfuckers, you know what I'm saying, that all of my business belongs to me. Mind your business. Ah, mind your business. That's all I got to say. And thank you. Real short and sweet this week. The intro was petite. It was petite. So, that being said, welcome to the Friend Zone. You're looking to all things mental wellness, mental health, and mental hygiene, because you know what? Who wants a musty brain? I know I don't, and I know you guys don't either. So, friend, how are you doing?
I'm good. And I have to throw out a little something to our listenership, because there was some people that were shooting their shot at you, Dustin Ross.
Shooting their shot at who?
At you.
Really?
This person was tweeting their friend. Their friend, I guess, had tweeted about how you were lit in that episode. And then that person was like, man, they've been trying to, like, get your attention for the longest. And then she was like, well, you responded to their Twitter. And then he was like, hopefully Dustin sees this. So I, me being me, press like on the tweet. Just to, you know, ruffle some feathers. I was like, this is going to be funny. And then, you know,
all right,
I'll show you later.
So you got to show me. Yeah, you got to show me who they are or whatever. And, you know, I'm going to be honest if I'm into it. You know what I'm saying?
I will say the person is very good looking. So.
Okay.
That was the motivation. I was like, you know, let me just, you know.
All right, well, that's a step in the right direction.
Even though I know
Dustin
could. So
let me see a walk. Yes, matter of fact, I know that you can talk. You talk a lot of shit, but let me see if you can walk. So let me see you walk into my DMs with it. What's up?
I'm
friendly.
Look at us. Look at this. Threw you some bad.
And everybody who we ain't talking to right now. All of my business belongs to me. Mind your business. Thank you.
I love this. So I am okay. I am tweeted. Yeah, I had to throw that out there. I thought that was super cute. I love when y'all be shooting your shot. That should be making me laugh. But I took, this is the second weekend in a row that I set a boundary and did not do any work. I was actually tweeting about that yesterday, I think. So I feel good. I'm slight, like coming back to myself, feeling a little more rejuvenated. And it helps that it is beautiful outside. 68. What is it today? It was 68 Amen. Yesterday.
Ooh,
I have my heat
69
on.
69 tonight.
Okay. I have my heat on because it was cold last week, and then I traveled and then came back and it was 68. And my Dustin was making fun of my plants, saying that they looked over at me like, "Bitch, if you don't turn off the heat."
Your plants like came home like by time. Fancy, you coming home now? Nah.
Look at this.
Fancy,
one.
You coming around this part? See.
I was about to say, that's the one right there, leaned in. Talk about, yes,
my plant
sick of friends. I'm so happy she's back.
It's doing like this.
Are y'all excited that it's nice out? Are y'all about to be outside?
Any, hells yeah.
Any
vaccinated
plans?
And ready to, you know what? Yeah, I got plans.
Y'all saw Ari Lennox has a show in Brooklyn. Are we going? Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Then we have plans.
Yeah.
I want to pull up.
It's soon, actually. Is
like
it
end of July?
Oh, it's the end of July. I thought it was next month. Let's shout it
we
out.
We in that thing.
Because you know, Ari Lennox is our homie.
Absolutely.
So we want to.
That's right.
We
got to
get
Ari
her back
Lennox.
On the show now because her old shit is flipped. I mean, like, I have questions. Look at this. I mean, she is just.
Look.
Like.
Y'all better tweet her too. Be like, don't be acting bougie, Ari.
I love
she
her.
She been looking
man.
Bomb as hell. Yes.
She been looking so fucking good. And I'm just happy to see her out,
been
happy
putting
and
in
stuff.
In the gym, because I know that was one of her goals to really like tighten up and get healthy. Remember, she was changing her diet and saying she wanted to stop eating candy because she was addicted to sugar.
Hell yeah.
So it's nice to see that she really locked in.
Yeah. So it's called Opening Night. It's Saturday, July 31st in Brooklyn. And doors are free with RSVP. You can go to Brick Celebrate BK's Twitter. That's at BRIC Celebrate BK. And yeah, it
and
has the link
flyer.
There. You see Ari Lennox looking good on the flyer for that as well. Oh, yeah. You know, I'm
so cute. So we got to pull up July 31st. I definitely am going to
say
that, right? I hopefully.
We in there in the good seats.
No, that's what I was like, because it's free. So, you know, that's about to be crazy. But we will be there somehow, some way.
Exact.
Had to put that out there. Mm-hmm. But everything's good. How are you guys feeling? Asante, you have the Black Business of the Week for us, right?
I do. I want to give a shout out to y'all on the emails for sending in Black Businesses, as y'all always do. I love that y'all always put the subject...
All of their
that y'all always put the subject.
This is the blackest.
But for this black business, this comes from Aaliyah Brown.
Yeah, she
Aaliyah
black.
Writes in Black Business.
Somebody named okay. Aaliyah Brown is black. Okay, that's a black.
So this one is COVID cleaning. She says, "I'd like to share my cousin's business based out of Cleveland, Ohio. It's called Cleaning Things.
Cute.
The owner, Akendria, has been in the cleaning business for over 12 years and birthed this business just last year during quarantine. She specializes general, deep, and COVID-19 cleaning. Quality over quantity is the mantra she lives by. Additionally, she does travel to all Ohio cities and surrounding states. So if you want to check her out, make sure you guys check out Aaliyah's hookup, Akendria, at cleaninthings.com. So that's CLEAN, the letter N, THING, the letter Z.com.
We
so
love
cleaning
a Z.
Things. You can go, you can look. Love a Z. Nice professional website, testimonials. You can schedule your appointment. You can get more information on the services she provides. I say check her out. It's COVID season. It's quarantine season. It's almost about to be post-quarantine, so you want to make sure you get rid of all the COVID, okay, so it don't come back. So, yeah, if you're in the Ohio area or surrounding, check out Akendria and tell her the Friend Zone sent you. So that's cleaninthings.com. And, yeah, that's it for the Black Business of the Week. It was pretty black to me. Thank you, Aaliyah.
That's dope, too, because I'm going to have a similar cleaning company in Charlotte, North Carolina, that I'll be able to shout out in the next couple of weeks, too. So I like this. Everybody's
dope.
Getting their
super
entrepreneurship
keeping
on.
It clean.
Yeah, I mean, get your money. So last week's episode, let's jump into the recap, was titled Preguntas on the Piso. Who do you think named that one? As Dustin
Socrates. Shit.
Socrates. It was a shoot the shit episode, meaning there was no hot button, no segments, just whatever wanted to come up. And as always, those are your favorite episodes. And those of you listening had a lot to say. Who stood out to you, Asante?
If you would be so kind, I would like to know who stood out to you first.
Yeah, so...
Are you in the SoundCloud streets or you in the tweets?
No, actually, I'm in the Patreon streets this week. So Cola be talking. It just hit me what her name is. She said the point about Cynthia Erivo not looking like Aretha is why I couldn't get into the Wu-Tang series on effects. I wanted to love it, but the mismatched casting took me out of it. And you know what? That's so funny because I remember watching the Wu-Tang show on effects and literally not knowing who anybody was supposed to be because it was so just no one looked like anybody. Like, at all. Not even a little bit. And so I thought that was an interesting combo that we just kind of stumbled into last week because a lot of people were hitting us up saying that they have always felt the same way. Just, like, if the person doesn't look like who they're portraying. Like, you know who did an awesome job that I totally got into it? What is her name? That she kind of looks like Rihanna.
Andra Day.
Yes, Andra Day doing Billie Holiday. Not that she looked like her, but she really embodied it. I don't know if you guys felt that way.
I agree.
Yeah, like a lot of people weren't really into it, but I was into it. I was like, she embodied that role. She like
the
really
Golden Globes
her
was
voice.
Into it.
Right. So that movie with kind of defies that because she did not look like her, but she made you feel like it was her. So sometimes it can work. But I agree, the Wu-Tang series, as much as I wanted to love it, I couldn't really get into it. One last one that actually this has more to do with the binge, but I wanted to throw it out there because I thought it was so funny. So Jay said, I was talking to my father because he's very Uncle Kevin-like. About the tapping on the car that Kevin was doing. I wanted to see if he knew why he was doing it. He said it's to check for previous body work that was done. Kind of like when a wall has been patched, the sound will be different as you tap around the vehicle. And for those of you who are like, who the hell is Kevin? What are y'all talking about? We have a show called The Binge where we binge different shows that are on Netflix, Amazon, whatever. And we started out with Buried by the Bernards, which Dustin has been facilitating. And we had an episode where one of the main characters was looking to buy a car and was tapping around it. And we were like, what is he doing? What exactly is that tapping? So Jay blessed us with that information, which is funny because she said her father is very Kevin-like. Which, if you know what Kevin is like.
Yo, daddy. Regine, yo, daddy.
Asante, did you find that email?
Yeah, so actually, I wanted to pull an email that I had from the week before its episode because since it was a shoot the shit last week, we didn't get to do any of those. But this one came from Jore, and the subject was reality TV therapy does exist. For that episode, we were talking about reality TV, how we comment on it, how people are seen and treated on it, a whole plethora of things. So Jore writes in, hey friends, huge fan of the show. Asante's hot button issue immediately reminded me of what Love Island, the UK reality dating show, had to begin implementing due to the multiple suicides contestants had committed from being on the show. For context, if you've never watched the show, Love Island is set up similarly to Big Brother, with episodes coming on every day. Viewers also have a say in voting off certain people from the show, so forming an opinion about these people one has never met is really easy. Once a contestant leaves the island, they're immediately met with the public's formed opinions about them, with no real editing slash breathing time in between as compared to other pre-recorded reality shows. Due to the multiple tragedies, the production has implemented an all-senior team members working on Love Island receiving mental health first aid training, includes learning about the symptoms of common issues such as depression, anxiety, and suicide ideation, and how to approach and assess various situations and then refer them to the most appropriate form of treatment. And they also have to, one of the other things they implemented is the use of psychological consultants throughout the show and post-show therapy sessions for contestants, and it was a minimum of 8 sessions for all. And contestants also receive training for life after the show, focused in areas such as social media and financial management. Just wanted to share that with you all. Reality TV therapy does exist and should be expanded upon and shared across the board.
Wow.
Yes, I completely agree. It should be expanded and shared across the board, because knowing that they do all that for some damn Love Island, like, granted, the people, you know, under any lens are going to get judged for whatever. But the fact that a dating show like Love Island has decided to take so much care with their contestants and even kind of manage them a little bit, you know, giving them some financial training and all that, like, that's super, super dope. And I wish that that was something that was implemented
across
all the way
board,
around or across the board or as we evolve. But I guess people don't want to encourage, I guess, people going out for reality TV or whatever the case. But this is a good example of how it could be a good situation potentially. So thank you for that.
Yeah, that's really interesting.
Jocelyn Ross, what did you find out there?
Jocelyn could have used that help.
Wait, you know what I was going to say?
All of the therapies.
Even, and I know, I get it. People that watch these shows get really attached to the characters, especially when it's a reality TV show, because it's not always a character. It's like an actual person being who they are. But it does kind of freak me out. Like, when I saw all the attention Portia was getting for her posts, and I get it. People are going to get their jokes off. But it was like, I was overwhelmed seeing the amount of attention she was getting, because it was like only thing my timeline was talking about at least for 2-3 days. So if I was seeing that as an outsider looking in, I can't
imagine
even
how she felt as the one who stole the man in the first place.
Oh my God.
Now, I get totally it. Get it's point, messy. Friend. So people are going to have their opinions. And honestly, when you put your life out there like that, that's the trade-off. So I get it, but I still was like, the fact that people care this much. I think that's all
they
I kept
thinking.
They
was tearing her ass up.
For 3 days straight. And I know people were waiting.
Did you see the clip?
Of what?
Never mind. I'll put it in my tweets. Go ahead.
Okay, okay. I was like, wait, what clip? Oh, God. But, you know, it's just like the investment. I think it's the investment that people have. Because it's one thing to be like, damn.
Yeah, it's
fascinating,
right?
It's one thing to be like, damn, what Portia did is fucked up, blah, 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 and then just like comment and keep it moving. But it was like relentless, like 3 days straight of people just talking about it all day, all day, all day. I was like, wow, that's gotta be intense. Like, what the fuck? How are you gonna talk about me for 3 days?
Super fascinating.
But, you know, it also helped to get a spinoff.
And don't even really know, you know? Like, we just know what we get from TV. And we know enough to, I guess, still have an opinion, right? But just to see it all, like, blow up and then blow up and then new stuff popping up and then new statements or pictures here, like all that stuff. It's just like,
and
wow.
Then she got a spinoff, which I mean, I guess that's what she wanted, but I'll leave that for TV Land because I know Dustin again. Those of you who are watching can see him revving up that engine. So I will leave that alone. But I just felt like that was an example to me that I witnessed just how invested people can be in your life when you put it out there like that. And especially reality TV. But Dustin, what'd you find in the Twitter streets?
Well, what I had originally slated to share with the audience this week, I'm going to can. So that's in file 13. Now, you know, that's the garbage. And I'm going to take you to Portia Williams' Twitter account
because
I know that you meant that with all your heart, because you are a loving, kind soul friend.
Right.
And you really were, you really felt for her as she had that onslaught of attention for stealing that woman's husband. But anyway, let me just give you a glimpse into how she's doing currently. And then you know, I hope this can like just sort of cool your, you know, ease your heart a little bit. Okay. First thing she did was posted mood and attached a video of Nicki Minaj driving a Rolls Royce Cullinan SUV, which we know is a very expensive vehicle, with her arm hanging out the window to establish dominance and her husband in the passenger seat leaned back.
Okay.
Portia said that's her move. So that's one.
She's
okay.
Agitating. I got you.
The next tweet that I would like to highlight comes from
Nicki's
Portia.
Face for me.
Yeah, with her arm out the window, with a Richard Mille and a Patek two watches on her wrist. Anyway,
that's some Rihanna class tweet right there. I'm sorry.
So Portia then responds to a tweet where somebody said, "I really don't know how to handle your ass right now." And so she says, how about you kiss it with the lips emojis? Okay. And the next tweet I want to show you is attached to this gorgeous photo of her. Portia is a stunningly beautiful woman. Nice. I mean, wow. Like, that's gorgeous, beautiful. Gorgeous, gorgeous. But she says, never look down to test the ground before taking your next step. Only he who keeps his eye fixed on the far horizon will find the right road. Dag Hammarskjöld, Phoenix, hashtag Phoenix, hashtag love. So Portia don't give a damn, friend. She don't give a fuck. They can say it till they blue in the face. She know that her nigga is worth $40 million and she don't give a fuck what drawer she had to pull him out of. She don't care what cabinet she had to yank him off the shelf from. She don't give a damn. He's hers now. And that's how Portia feels. So I just wanted to share that with you. From the Twitter streets. That's
right.
All.
So you're saying she's not Mariah Carey wall sliding.
You see how she was driving that Rolls truck? You seen it, friend. You seen it.
You got it. You're right. That's just me projecting because I just, when people hive up like that, it just, I'm like, Jesus, like that's too much. And then if someone were to commit suicide or something, then people would be spreading the hotline number and saying, maybe we should rethink how, you know, it's like, I don't know. I can't really mess with that. But if she was having fun with it, then I mean, because clearly she was agitating the people that were hitting her. So
she said, listen, them larceny charges ain't sticking. Okay. She said, I'm going to beat the case and get away with it. So here we go. And you know, Nikki got that line where she was like, ain't talking housewives, but I'm in the Porsche. Remember she said that?
So that
makes that tweet even sweeter. Funnier. You know what I'm saying? Years later.
Yes.
And shout out
Porsche
to Nikki,
too. Don't give a
too.
Fuck.
Like, fine wine.
Porsche this nigga rich, and now he mine. And that's it.
And when we get to TV Land, I'll ask more questions because then I'll be able to get a bigger picture. Because in reality, I don't know who these people are like that. I don't know. I know their names.
Neither
because of
do
the
Portia.
That's killing me today. And with his Tabitha Brown liquor. You see his Zoom name?
I don't. Don't take me back there.
I love doing that Tabitha Brown shit. That's so fun, y'all. It's so fun.
That voice. And then you be having an accent. Oh my God.
That was
I've been practicing.
Shit ever
I've
too.
Been practicing
I
like
really
an
want
instrument.
I hear it. I want
me too.
You're like, I hope so. All right, so.
Some exciting news for all the Ben & Jerry's lovers. The flavor gurus have churned up 5 new non-dairy flavors this year. All your favorites now in a delicious non-dairy alternative. Enjoy this creamy, plant-based treat with your friends. There's an option for everyone. Tonight Dough, Americone Dream, Caramel, Sutra, Fish Food, and Colin Kaepernick's Change the World lead the pack as 5 new non-dairy flavors the Ben & Jerry's flavor gurus have whipped up for us. Anyone who's ever perused the freezer aisle knows these ice cream flavors. They're some of the most popular ones out there. So it's awesome that they're now offered with all the things that you love about Ben & Jerry's without the dairy. These fan favorites join the lineup of all the existing non-dairy flavors to provide some sweet indulgence for Ben & Jerry's non-dairy fans. Y'all know how I feel about this Ben & Jerry non-dairy dessert. Y'all know that creme brulee speaks to my soul and yours. You know that I love them, and I cannot wait to pick a favorite out of the new Tonight Dough, Americone Dream, Caramel Sutra, Fish Food, or Colin Kaepernick's Change the World. So, check out the Ben & Jerry's new non-dairy options as well as the whole non-dairy family at benjerry.com. That's benjerry.com.
Hot take, your bank account should work with you, not against you. Chime is an award-winning app and debit card with no hidden fees or monthly minimums. After all, you earned your money. You deserve to keep it. Fee-free overdraft on up to $100 in debit purchases with SpotMe. It's like overdraft protection, but better. Get your paycheck, benefits, stimulus check, and tax return up to 2 days earlier with direct deposit. No hidden fees or monthly minimums. Plus 38,000 fee-free ATMs with MoneyPass and Visa Plus Alliance. Security. turn on alerts to let you know when your card is used, and instantly block your card activity if something seems fishy. Save on autopilot. When you sign up for a Chime spending account, you can enroll in an optional savings account and grow your savings automatically with 0.50% APR, excuse me, APY, that's annual percentage yield, 10 times the national average. Join the millions on Chime. Sign up takes 2 minutes and doesn't affect your credit score. Apply now at Chime.com/FZ. That's Chime.com/FZ. Chime is a financial technology company. Banking services provided by the Bancorp Bank or Stride Bank North America. Members FDIC. Eligibility requirements and overdraft limits apply. Overdraft only applies to debit card purchases. Limits start at $20 and may be increased up to $100 by Chime. Early direct deposit depends on the payer. Out-of-network cash withdrawal fees apply. Third-party and cash deposit fees may apply. Go to Chime.com/FZ for details.
This week's episode, I got inspired by something that happened to me yesterday, and then the conversations that we are seeing online the past couple of days, it all coincided. And you know me, I'm like, collective. This is clearly a topic. Y'all know how the Mystic Zone gets.
Let me tap in.
We tapped in. So I was like, maybe it's something that we can explore in conversation. And I'd love to hear stories that you guys may have. So I was on a flight heading back home last night, back to New York, and the flight attendant had been staring at me. You know, I could feel he had a little energy, so I was like, okay, it is what it is. Ignored it, had on my AirPods.
Was you flying our preferred? I'm sorry, were you flying our preferred?
Oh,
you
ain't got to
say the name.
You know the story. Okay. Way I fly. Okay. So, you know, I'm chilling in my little seat.
She ain't no AKA.
That was good. Put a boom. I kind of got the colors, not really. So, so I'm sitting chilling. Who knows what the hell? I was listening to some podcast. Actually, I was listening to my friend Noni. Mononi Lamar's podcast. She had an episode with her husband, and they have beautiful babies, just talking about being a creative and trying to balance family. So I'm like in my bag listening to my friend be amazing. And then, you know, he comes up to me and starts motioning like he's trying to tell me something. So I'm thinking he's going to ask me if I want something to drink, if I want snacks. You know, they ask you like, what would you like? So I take off my AirPod and I'm like, yes. And he's like, I just want you to know that I'm going to kidnap you and make you stay with me for 30 days. And then he walks off. And I didn't even have time to say anything, to process it, because it was like startling, because I'm like, I'm thinking he's going to ask me if I want fucking biscuits, whatever those crackers are. Or
just right, the Biscoff thing.
The Biscoffs, that's what it is. You want a biscuit? You want peanut? And here he comes talking about kidnapping. So it was like, what? Very disorienting. And I was kind of mad at myself because I didn't say anything. Like, I froze in that moment. And then he comes back around. I go to use the bathroom, sit down in my seat. He comes back to me and whispers again. And this is the part that I was mad at myself again, because I'm like, in that moment, I should have immediately been like, yo, you know, and just like said some shit. And he's like, I put glue in your chair so that you can't get up when everyone's deplaning, and that's how I'm going to take you. And then walks off again.
What?
And I'm frozen. And so I was talking to the guys saying that it kind of bugs me out how there might be situations like when that Amazon thing happened where the police were shooting up at my terrace. It was like a reflex. I didn't even have to think about it. I felt what I felt and I said what I said and went out there. But then in this instance, I'm frozen, should have said something, and felt very, as Haas would put it, disembodied, where it's like I just like detached and didn't even have the words, the language I didn't know what to say. I was telling them that there was this black lady sitting across from me that had that motherly look, like, you better say something, you know, like, because she was peeping game and I'm sure she heard, and she seemed so uncomfortable. And it's like, I just didn't know what to say. And I frozen. And then he, in a way, it pissed me off that I couldn't get a word out, because it made him feel comfortable, obviously, thinking that I was game for that type of conversation or whatever the fuck he thought that was. And then to make matters worse, is an older white man. So you already know how they look at us, you know, and him thinking that that's okay. And me making him feel like that's okay.
He fit the profile.
Completely.
He looked like he really could have kidnapped
you. And he really did. It was straight out of that show that I'm watching on HBO, Mayor of Easttown. Like, he was straight from that. And it was so... I walked off the plane and I was like so mad at myself, because I was like, what is it in situations that sometimes you can buck up and speak up for yourself and check people, and then other situations you fucking freeze and can't get a word out.
Like, what truly sets off that?
Yeah, like, what is it that triggers that? And like, what is it about him and that moment and that flight, and you know, that just made me turn into like a fucking 5-year-old that just had nothing to, you know, like, I like recoiled. And then, mind you, on my terrace with the Amazon dude, I was in his face, you know, in front of cops that could easily, you know, the climate we're in. What if they got crazy with me? You're putting your life at risk. Like I mentioned that time I was sharing the story, and I didn't think twice. It was like, I had to say what I had to say. And so it made me wonder, what is that? What the hell is it that certain situations make you fucking feel like that? And I wondered if y'all had any times that you kind of were able to witness yourself do that, like where certain people you can't buck at. And I wonder, like, what the fuck is that? And I've actually seen, like, you know what story comes to mind, Dustin? When we were having that dinner under the magnolia trees, remember? And mm-hmm. the lady was being a little too comfortable with you. And mm-hmm. you had no problem checking her right on the spot. And it was almost like she needed to be checked. But I still felt that ping in my body of like, sometimes I feel bad that people have to be checked. It's like weird because she needed to be checked. And it was rightfully so. And you did it without hesitation. And you weren't like rude about it, but you were stern about it, you know? And Asante, I've seen you in situations too where you're just like, this is not what's gonna happen. You know, like, we've all been there. But I've also seen situations where we've been put in weird positions where we didn't buck up or we could have. So I know it's something people go through, but I wonder if that's something you ever think about. Like, why does that happen?
Can I just say that this is something, a conversation I wish I would have like really audited myself on back when I worked in restaurants, because, you know, there are going to be like, you know, more obvious scenarios in a restaurant because you're at work. But I think that the reason that I wish I would have thought about this at work is because I was so fearless a lot of the time. And when I did have to deal with issues, there were times where I would, just because I was staying within the, you know, realm of professionalism, I would just say whatever I wanted, because it's like, I'm not being disrespectful and I'm coming back at you with, you know, whatever. So I felt like empowered to, I don't want to say fight, but I felt empowered to, you know, hold my ground. And then there were certain situations where it would be like with customers, and it's like a customer disrespecting me, a person that could, it could be their first time and it really could be their last time, but they affect my whole like world in that one situation. And it's like, how did I just tell my manager, someone that controls, you know, my paycheck or me having bearings at this job? I just told them about themselves. But then here comes this customer who might not even write this email or whatever they're threatening me with. And all of a sudden now I can't like tell them that they need to have manners and not call me boy or some shit like that. So it's like there are. Because you know how like you dealt with like a creep. There would be situations where I'm dealing with like bigots or fucking, you know, people that really just have this weird mm-hmm. sense of entitlement. And that was initially what I was thinking about when you first started talking about this man who mm-hmm. fit the profile. There are certain people that have, they walk around with this sense of entitlement, and especially mm-hmm. older white men who have probably done shit like this and have gotten away with it before. And so it's enabled them to continue to do it. So your silence was almost like, oh, she ain't gonna do shit. So it made him keep wanting to do it. And I think that's what almost scares you. It's not that you're scared, but it's almost like bewildering, or like, did you really just say that? And because you didn't ask that, like, because you don't say it out loud, because you can't really believe it's happening. It's almost like, not that you're intentionally shrinking yourself, but their ego, their entitled ego or something is like trying to like cower you out or something. It's the weirdest thing, but I know exactly what you're talking about, and I've experienced it in so many different ways.
And it's weird because it's like, Dustin, thoughts. There have been times where white men have been disrespectful, like you said, entitled, whether it's in a sexual way, whether it's just in like a racist way, it comes in different ranges. And I have had times where I buck up, especially when I lived in Atlanta. I'm sure, Asante, you can attest to this, but something about the white men in Atlanta, mm-hmm. or I should say Georgia, really, was just different. Like, they moved yeah. different. And I had so many times where I had to speak up for myself because they would really treat me like shit. And it's like, there's certain men I can do that, and then there's certain times I can't. I'm like, what is that? You know, like, what the fuck is that? Dustin, what do you think?
Yeah, I think Madonna... I think Madonna said it best when she said, "You're frozen when your heart's not open," right? she said that, "You're frozen when your heart's not open." That's shit. Good. That's why your heart wasn't open. You weren't into it. It's so funny you brought this up, because I had an experience. It's very rare when I am so taken aback from a situation that I'm not able to either react or respond, right?
Right.
That's rare. It doesn't happen often to me, but it happened recently. A friend and I were walking from one place in Harlem to another. It was nighttime. This was recent. And so, long story short, you guys, we were coming down this block, and this lady was outside like screaming. She was probably like, she looked like she was about 30 years old, black woman. She was outside. You could tell she was going through something. She wasn't screaming like she was in trouble, or she was just screaming like she was venting about something and just like screaming loud or whatever. But, you know, me and my friend were walking. I already like heavily police myself on the street when I'm around like women by themselves. I'm by myself, right. Whatever. I move to the other side of the sidewalk. Sometimes my pacing is at a certain level where it's like I'm walking up on them. You know what I'm saying? So I'll either move faster to get past them or across the street, whatever, yeah. Just to create some distance. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Because I know how it is out here, and I don't ever want to be in no bad position, you know. Well, anyway, so I just really policed myself about that. So when that lady was screaming like that, I literally like went we were already going the other direction, but we just kind of kept it moving. So this other lady, black lady, was at the end of the block. She was coming around the corner, and she was like, she was calling the other lady's name. She's like, "You could just come upstairs." And she was like, "What's wrong with you?" And she immediately, as soon as she said, "What's wrong with you?" She looked right at me and my friend, and she was like, What did y'all do to her?"
Oh, no.
Just like that.
Wow. Wow.
So.
See how
it was
goes
so
down?
Funny because my mind was moving so fast when this happened, because I'm like, Dustin, you could either address that, you know what I'm saying? And whatever me addressing that looked like, that's what that would be. Me either me checking her, cussing her out, or calmly speaking to her. Those were the three ways that was going to get addressed, one of them three ways. But then I thought about the complexity of it. She's already going nuts. She's already making crazy ass accusations. And I literally don't have nothing to do in either one of their asses. Right. I got to get the fuck out of here. And all I could remember was on Martin when Pam looked at Gina and she was like, "Gina, we better roll." You know what I'm saying? Because I looked at my boy. I was like, "Let's roll." We kept on going and shit. And she like, what the fuck? And she like went to the other lady. And I could not believe, I was mad as fuck. You know what I'm saying? Because what do you mean? What did y'all do to her? Bitch, we didn't do nothing to her. What did you do to her?
Right.
You know the motherfucker, she's screaming. So what the fuck did you do to her?
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And don't be accusing me of no bullshit like that. I didn't do a goddamn thing. I don't do nothing to nobody, bitch.
That's scary.
I wanted to cuss her ass out.
Right.
Because what are you even implying? What did y'all do to her? I was so mad, but I just, I didn't need to be there, because for her to even say something like that to me, she was crazy in the first place. And there was going to be no reasoning, no type of logical conversation that could be had with her. So I got out of there. But that just happened to me. And it was literally like, I froze in my head, like, and my thoughts were racing, but I didn't say nothing. I was silent. And I'm like, let's go. And we never really broke stride. We in fact, like, quickened our pace.
Right.
And made it right and shit. But I just couldn't believe she said that shit to me, man. I could not believe she said
and
that.
And what
to
that could have turned
say,
into, rather. You know, if she would have pushed.
A nightmare.
Like, come on.
Oh my God. Literally. And that's how it happened. So just that happens sometimes. You know what I mean?
And how quickly, that's the other thing that's scary. You're literally just walking and turning into a block, and look what you walk, like, so fucking quick how things can happen. Because that's what I think I got, it's like you get sideswiped, because it's like, I'm thinking he's offering me a drink, not telling me he's going to kidnap me. So it's like, you don't even have time to react.
And you're on an airplane, so your behavior is already, you know, confined to certain types. Like, we don't act a fool in airports because you already know you're going to jail. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So you're already moving in a certain way in the airport and shit. And what kind of weird ass, unsolved mysteries ass shit is that to say to somebody anyway? Talk about some, I'm going to kidnap you for 30 days. You're going to jail, sir.
And talking
that's
about
disgusting.
Gluing my
seat. Did you see his name?
You know what? I really should have been. I think it just caught me so off guard that I was like,
"Girl, you
I
can
mean,
still
the thing,
with the
email
flight
me.
Number.
That's the thing.
They
it's
know
not,
who staffed.
Right.
They staffed the flight.
It's not going to be hard to track him because it was a very small flight, you know, and obviously the timestamps and all that and the flight number. But it just was like, what the fuck? And like you said, what angered me more is that because I didn't check it, he's going to think that that's cool and then probably do that to somebody else in the next flight, clearly, because he probably just moves like that. So that was another reason I was beating myself up about it, because I was like, damn, man.
And he old, so you know he's been doing it for
comfort,
a long ass time.
The comfort
so he really,
that he showed.
So he already knew instantly you right. weren't
going to
say
of all,
shit.
Why are you whispering
like,
to me?
What?
Right.
Don't whisper to me. You that's too close. You're the one who said I have to wear a mask on this flight, so we ain't right. supposed to be close to each other like that.
Right.
Why are you whispering to me? That's number one. That's inappropriate. You know what I'm saying, friend? That has to be like, it has to be addressed,
you know,
in some way.
I know it does, and I'm definitely going to do it, but I like had to have a moment. Like, I literally, when I got home, yeah. I was so just like, it's that feeling of like, yeah. what the fuck? But I had to give myself grace because I was beating myself up about it more.
You
than like
nothing.
Him and it just made me and then I get home, and unless you've been living under a rock, you saw what was transpiring yesterday in a kind of similar conversation. I'm not going to mention names out of respect for the young lady, but a young lady was sharing her being put in a similar position by a boss and publicly, you know. And when I saw that, it was that same feeling that I know she's beating herself up because she laughed when it happened. And I know I've been in that position too, where like somebody said something or touched you weird or did something that internally you're like, what the fuck? But then you laugh or you like keep being playful with them. And it's that weird dissonance of like, I don't like this, but I don't know what to do in this moment. And then I'm like laughing with them and playing about it. And, you know, like I'm sure you guys have experienced that, and you're kind of able to observe yourself and you're like, what the fuck are you doing?
I used to when certain people would say like bitch or girl when they would talk
right,
to me. Right.
Right.
Same thing. Like, I'd be hella uncomfortable. Like, first of all, okay, but I would know that it was being said in a certain way, so I had to learn how to, you know, set that boundary with people, you know what I'm saying, and accept it from, you know, I just had to find my way with that. But I have been in that position. I told y'all I used to real talk like get sexually harassed like at some of our shows and shit.
I know,
like,
we saw that shit, and we have to you have to check it, because it's like, come on now, you know better. You know better.
Get your titties off. Get your hand out of my pocket. I just have to, you know what I'm saying? I'm just making us laugh right now.
Right.
Nothing is funny about that. But like, you know, right. Shit be real out here, man. And sometimes you got to speak the fuck up for yourself. And it's very hard when you feel like the other person has, you know, dominance or power in that situation. But sometimes that's all the fuel you need to go ahead and speak the fuck up, because, bitch, you should have known better. And I'll be damned. You know what I'm saying? Like, I work so hard to be so good to so many people and exercise patience in life and give people grace and respect every damn body. I'm not about to take nothing. I'm just not. And while I am very aware of my capacity to let certain things go and look at the bigger picture and walk away from certain shit, which I even did that recently. Me and Gary, shout out to Gary LaVar. We was at the ATM, and the security guard told us to move out of his sight because he couldn't see out that window. Y'all move. Y'all can't see out that window. I looked at Gary. I was like, we just started laughing. I was like, I'm not even finna argue with this motherfucker. He at work and we using the ATM. Let's go. You know what I'm saying? We just let it go.
Right.
But it was so disrespectful. You know what I mean? And something that I really should have kicked his ass for, man to man. You know what I'm saying? Because who are you fucking talking to like that?
Right.
And bitch, you're
what makes
at work,
you think like I won't shove that fucking walkie-talkie up your asshole and twist it? Because I will. You know what I'm saying? But it was something I was able to let go and go ahead and just focus on things that mattered. So that comes with maturity and just life experience and you learning how to prioritize your energy best. I'm glad you didn't engage with him any further because I don't want you talking to him.
Right.
I feel like you can definitely rectify it from this end.
See, but I think that's different for me because I think there are certain times where people will like test you and you, mm-hmm. you know, like, mm-hmm. and then you decide, like, is it worth it to check them? And it's just not. But then there's other times where it's like a literal, like, crossing of a boundary. Like, it's not that they're trying to fight you or tell you move the fuck away. It's like they're touching you inappropriately. They're saying something and it's like beyond beefing with them. It's like
they don't even know how to respond.
Like you don't even know. And I hate that I have experienced that a lot. Like, I feel like I've mentioned this on the show, when I was pursuing music, a lot of what deterred me was the comfort that executives have with talking to young artists in a hypersexual way. There's no reason why I should be playing you my music. It's me and you in your office and you're talking to me about what I'm wearing and how I need to make you feel like you want to fuck me in order to sell records. You shouldn't tell that to a 17-year-old. Like, I don't even know why you think that's cool, but it's like Asante was saying, it's a comfort because they've been doing this. And we've heard these stories over and over of how many young artists felt cornered or felt pressured because it's like, well, this is someone that is important to my career, you know? And I imagine like the young lady yesterday, like that was her boss in a new venture that she's starting. And it's like that cornering. But I felt bad because the laughter that I saw, that is easy for people to be like, oh, but you liked it. You was in on it. You played. Why didn't you check it then? And it's that feeling of like you did something wrong, you know, when in reality, you just didn't know how to handle it. And you don't want to be the buzzkill either. I've been in that situation too, where everyone else is laughing. And you don't want to be the one to be the buzzkill or the fun killer or whatever the fuck. Obviously, this is when I was like a lot younger. Now I feel like I buck up more when I can. But when I was younger, you didn't want to be the woke one that's like, don't speak, you know, because then everybody's be like, shut the fuck up, especially in certain circles you run in. So it just, I felt bad for her because I saw people piling on. But I understood that discomfort because I'm like, man, that laughing shit that you do, like that sucks because it's so misunderstood. You know, it's so misunderstood.
Yeah. It's misunderstood for a lot of reasons too, right? Because some of it can be, because I know for me, there are situations where something like crazy's happened. And like both of y'all know, there are times where I'll just be like, bitch,
that's what
no.
I'm saying. I've
but then
seen
there
it.
Are times where things will happen. I mean, it's not often, but there are times where I'm just like, this is not fucking right. So like I just cannot not say anything. But then there are times where some bullshit happens, and I think it's like I disassociate immediately, or I like put that wall up or whatever. And for a while I used to be like, damn, this is some bullshit. Like I should, you know, I have to figure out how to like get the tools to like arm myself mm-hmm. to fight or whatever. But then, you know, looking at myself, I'm like, well, I do fight when I need to fight. So like, what the fuck is the problem? I think the real reason that I had to look at myself or why I disassociate in certain situations, and like, if I were you in a situation, I might, because especially like, I can only imagine from the scope of a woman having to deal with this so much any fucking way. And this man having been so old and probably have gotten away with it for so long, just all these different
probably
things
had at worms.
Play. It makes me think it makes me think about if I really had to sit and take that hard look at myself, like, why am I laughing? It's probably because I had to disorient my damn self, because this really shouldn't be happening. And it's unfortunate that there are a lot of things that shouldn't be happening that are always happening. And I think that's why we kind of wonder to ourselves, why the fuck am I letting, like, am I allowing this to be okay? Or why am I not saying anything? In certain situations, friend, like for you and this one in particular, you should not have had to deal right. with this. Like right. we just don't, like, this man should know fucking boundaries, and he's at fucking work doing this. So even if you tell the airline or whoever the fuck that he's done A, B, and C, they may write him up or whatever, but he's not, ain't nobody gonna say, yo, I still need to stop touching people, like, or talking to people like that. Like, yeah, you getting written the fuck up, but you don't need to do this, like, real talk. Like, no one's gonna do that. And so even Dustin talking about he had to police himself walking down the street, straight men don't even do that shit. And they'd be the main fucking ones, especially during mask season, trying to whisper and put their fog breath in somebody's face. And I'm like, what the fuck is going on? Everybody just really needs to take the time to learn to A, leave people the fuck alone and not fuck with people, and B, just like, keep your shit to yourself. Cause sir, don't, like, if you supposed to be offering me cookies right now, don't offer me a kidnap scenario. Keep that shit to yourself. You supposed to be having your little fantasy in your head, sir. That's fucking disgusting and gross, but keep that shit to yourself. So it's like, when someone lets that out to you, what can you say? Like, that's supposed to be some shit he's supposed to kept his damn self. Like, I don't need to know that, sir. And you shouldn't say that. And A, I'm going to talk about your ass, and you should get fired even though your ass ain't, because right. you white and you old and you right. feel like you're doing right. It just sucks that we feel like we have to fight. So, friend, when you feel that moment, just tell yourself, I shouldn't even have to deal with no shit like this. And if you can do something immediately, do it. But don't ever walk away feeling bad about not having done it. Because especially working in restaurants where people were called, like I said before, a motherfucker called me boy, and I had to tell Ooh, my manager.
Even you saying that, like, I feel
like, and mind you, I'm standing at the table. So I, like, when I got called boy, I don't even remember, like, I think he was still in the middle of talking. He said boy, and I remember walking off, and I was like, I need somebody to go over here right quick. I need to grab a manager. Like, I was making sure I was still being professional while, like, getting the shit taken care of. My manager didn't know what the fuck to do. She's like, okay, like, you know, maybe he thinks you're boys. Oh, ha-ha. No, I'm like, no, girl, that's not what this is at all. Like, that's not. And so I realized she's not going to go to the table and do anything. He thinks this shit's okay and it's cool because he's done it however long, or he thinks it's hip or whatever the fuck. This shit's not okay. So I go back up to the table, and after, like, first of all, restaurants are high stress. So after like 15 minutes, which felt really dramatic to me because I went to other tables, but after about 15 minutes, I finally went back to my table to recover. And he immediately said it again. He's like, boy, I thought I lost you. And I was like, well, sir, here's the thing. I have a name tag. It's literally right here. You see, there's the logo, and this is my whole name. And if you need help pronouncing it, I can help you with that too. But I don't respond to anything outside of my name. You can try boy with anybody else in here, because I was literally the only black person on shift on the floor. So you can try boy with anybody else up in here. But unfortunately for me, it's not going to work. So I can either take care of you, we can either move on, or, I mean, the ball's in your court. But as I said, I'm here to serve customer service, not fucking boy. So that shit. And then I remember he like had a little fit, and he ended up getting another server, and I didn't give a fuck. And then my manager at the end of the night Mm-mm. pulls me into the office and tells me about how it was weird for her having to deal with something like that. And I had to explain to her, welcome to my life. Like, just like, this is not okay. Me having to tell him that it's not okay.
Like, that would have been the day.
And I still work there for a long time because, you know, kind of thinking about like a bigger scheme of your scenario, friend, like, imagine having to go somewhere all the time or regularly because it supports you, and people doing shit like that from all different angles at different parts of the day. Because it's like, if I didn't have to deal with it in the back of house, I had to deal with it somewhere on the floor from a customer, or even like in the building I worked at sometimes, it was like the weirdest thing. So even how you dialed it back to Atlanta, those white men in the South are completely different. And maybe that's who you got on your flight, because I forgot Atlanta right. got a hub. But it doesn't make any sense that we as people have to deal with certain things. And it's like, when you feel that way, do what you can if you can. And if you can't, just let that shit go. Because if you take that energy with you too, it'll make you do wrong later to somebody else who don't even fucking deserve it. Because it do feel good later when you curse somebody else out.
You like release
but it's not
it
their
somewhere.
Fault. So I don't ever encourage that.
And yeah. like
the thing is, everything, I'm sorry.
No, go ahead. Because I was waiting for you. Go ahead.
No, you just don't have, everything does not, as you stated previously, every situation that you find that hesitation to respond or react in is not a situation that's confrontational or combative, right? Sometimes it is just in your engagement with certain types of people or whatever, where you face that moment or that awkwardness where they cross a line, like you said, and you either have to address it or you just retreat internally, right? But I think every time you address it, you get better at not only addressing it in the future, but also anticipating it in the future.
Right.
Because the more and more practice you get in handling shit like that, the easier it is for you to even see it coming. And you just make different choices about the spaces that you end up in and different shit like that. So I say, yes, speak the fuck up and be noticed. You know what I'm saying? Remember in The Color Purple, when Mister was describing Shig Avery and why he was more inclined to her, he told Celie she could speak up, talk to anybody, be noticed, and look at you. You know what I'm saying? So like, you got to do that. You got to get your Shig Avery on.
Not The Color Purple. And you know, this actually ties in seamlessly into what I was going to say. So I'm glad you spoke first, because I admire Jade, you know, so mm-hmm. much, because
yeah, Jade.
Let me tell you something about Jade.
Oh, it's Jade. Don't give up. I have to calm Jade down.
But me, have a good day.
Yes.
Have a good day, sir.
She's so G, because we were walking one day and this was what was happening. It was like, I don't know if it was a George Floyd or something had happened that was like the city was just on tilt, you know? And we were walking down the street and this policeman, big dude too, starts twirling his baton as we're walking past him purposely in a way where it's like, it's gonna hit us if we stay in the way that we were walking. So it was his way of making us walk around him. And the way he was doing it was just in this real threatening way. And then I was like, oh, fuck, I'm walking with Jade. That's all that my mind
was.
We're going to jail or worse.
We're
going to die. Like, because this is just how she gets down. And literally, as soon as my mind said it, I heard her say, what the fuck is that? You know, like, she just went crazy. What the fuck is you trying to do? She just lost it. No, she
and
said, what the fuck
go?
Is that supposed to mean? That's what she said. And then lost it. And I was like, well, because you know how it is. If your friend jumps in, you got to jump in. Like, you ain't just going to stand there. I was like, well, I guess we both going to die today. But she just has that thing. But the thing, too, is that I also remember a day where Jade was like, that shit's so exhausting, too, though, to have to always buck up. Because you end up, what's that saying? It's like, if you're a hammer, everything's going to be a nail. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Where suddenly you're checking shit and it's almost like a vortex. I really believe that. Y'all know I be on my woo-woo shit where it's like, it's like a vortex opens where suddenly you're checking motherfuckers all damn day because everything feels that way. And I remember me and her had a long convo about that. You know who else is like that? And I don't think most people know, Maya. I don't know if she posted it on her Instagram feed or maybe it was just on her stories, but she bought a body cam. Because she fights so much that she was like, I need protection. And I thought that shit was so fucking funny when she told me that. I was like, Maya, you're nuts. You're nuts. You're like a different. But I get it.
I wasn't expecting Maya.
Body cam is what took me out. Maya, I can believe, because Maya, she bought
she
a body.
Body
cam.
She bought one because she said that a lot of times people start with her. And it makes her look crazy. Like, her husband be like, bro, like, we can't go nowhere. You stay getting bucked. And she's like, you don't believe me when I tell you that it's not me. And me and her had a similar combo that me and Jade had where it's like, that shit's a vortex, though. So that's what I hate, because although you want to speak up, like Asante was saying, it sucks because it's like you're taking me out of my way. And a lot of the times I let shit slide when it's more so like kind of like the guard telling y'all to move out the fucking way. Shit like that, sometimes I'll laugh it off because it's like, you're not going to fuck up my day. I had a great fucking day. I don't know what the fuck you're on, but I'm not taking it with me. And a lot of times you have to do that because it's all the you'll be fucked up all day, especially being black in any city. People are going to test you.
Yeah. But you also can't be around here taking no shit. You know what I'm saying? Letting nobody just willfully disrespect you like that. My brother do not let nothing slide on God. Like nothing whatsoever. And I think that I get, like, for real. And I think I get a lot of that from him and from being around him. And I'm grateful for that part of my personality because I feel safe, you know, moving around out here in this world. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. But I also, because I have that side of my personality, I'm also really sensitive to people, you know, trying you or testing me or whatever the fuck, you know what I mean? And so people do that shit a lot, like more than you would think. So if you become really a really passive person, I think that it's even worse because now you're just taking it on from everybody and everything. At a certain point, it's instinctual, like in me. It's not even a choice or a decision. If I really get to going the fuck off, like I'm not even really thinking about it. It's a instinctual reaction, you know, because I don't like the way it feels when somebody's trying to intimidate me or challenge me or whatever. I don't like that feeling.
Right.
And my body just responds to it. I don't even know why I'm telling you this, but
people
like me in the world.
No, but that's what it sucks because you're right. Like if someone tests you, you should check them. But like you're saying, but if you're getting tested all fucking day, when the hell do you get to just have a good day? It almost makes you not want to go outside. Like
when you go home and masturbate.
Like it really made me sad that day because we were at the airport. It was Jade and Crystal. Oh Lord, that's another one.
Oh yeah, Crystal don't play.
Oh,
that
let
shit
me tell
either.
You. So the three of us, you know, and we were going down an escalator and Jade and I and Crystal, you know, we're loud as fuck, laughing, cracking jokes or something, just having fun. We were pulling up in LA and this white girl was on a phone call in front of us on the escalator. She turned around and said, "Stop talking so loud." Oh my God, my heart dropped because I was like, ooh.
Who threw the carry-on first? Okay, God. I'd have sent that bitch. What's that Amy Winehouse song?
You
sent
me her,
flying. I'd have sent her ass flying out of
her like that gift people use on Twitter where they'd be like, there's a storm. What is it? You got a storm coming. Ooh. Ooh, I looked at her like, girl, you turned around on the wrong mm-hmm. group of people because Jade said, turn the fuck around, bitch. Ain't nobody fucking. I said, oh my God.
Hell yeah.
And I know Jade has told the story on Getting Grown to Jaden XD because it was like, I looked at Jade and I had to laugh because it was like so startling. But also Jade Hell be yeah. mad exhausted. And that's what I'm saying. It's like, what the fuck is the balance? Because, and you know, obviously this is, we've taken this from more from like people just being disrespectful than people crossing lines like that. But either or,
right.
It just sucks because you get pulled out of your square a lot all day. And so I guess that's the question I'm posing to our listeners too. Like, what is the balance that you have found? Because I have found that I have to let certain things slide in order for me to fucking get through my day. But it also stays in my body, though, because, like, you know, yeah, yesterday I wouldn't even say I let it slide. I just really froze. But I got home and then I'm the one that took that home because I bet you he went the fuck home and didn't even think about it. You know, he was about his day, landed in whatever city and probably went on to the next flight to harass.
Right, you was one of many he talked to like
you know,
that day.
Who well, knows who else on that flight?
They gonna pull him to the side whenever you send the email, and he not gonna,
he gonna
remember
be like, which
he
flight?
Got an accident or something, and got his legs broken or something that's crippling. You know what I'm saying? Something Nothing's horrible crushed. And with a long
some
healing
karma.
Process, if one at all. Yeah.
And you know, it's that feeling of like, damn, you take it in your body regardless of if you choose
it
to
depends.
Speak up, freeze or don't. You're taking that in, and that's the part that bothers me.
It depends. A good meter, I guess. I shouldn't say it depends. I think a good meter to use, right, is potential consequence. So
right,
like,
right.
You know what I'm saying? Like if there is no potential consequence of harm for you or accountability really at that point in any way, go for it. You know what I'm saying? If you can whoop that ass and get to your car and get on home without no trouble with the goddamn police or nothing, do it, because your body needs that cathartic experience.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? To get that shit out of you. You know, if you can say something that will let a motherfucker know not to play with you like that, that you don't play that shit, and you, if it's somebody you have to be around, you need to establish that boundary, which that's what letting somebody know you don't play that shit means. It means you're establishing a boundary with them of some sort.
Right.
You know, that's what you have to do verbally sometimes, because otherwise, what is going to happen? What are you going to be subject to? You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So that's just, if you can't, basically, if you're not going to go to jail or get killed, do
Buck
what you got to do.
And that's where Maya got the body cam.
Yeah.
Because she was on a flight, and actually similar, flight attendant told, what did she tell Maya? She told her, oh, it was something with Jackie, the dog. Like, she was you got to zip it up and put it somewhere. Something that Maya was like, the dog is fine. Like, it's not bothering nobody. You know, she needs oxygen. Like, just, you know, she kind of told her, like, we're good. Like, relax. And the lady told Maya that she was being disrespectful. And so she went and told the pilot. The flight attendant tells the pilot that there's an unruly passenger. And the pilot sends Maya a note that the flight attendant hand slides on her table, basically letting her know that there are going to be gate agents waiting. I mean, just that fast, boom. And that's what inspired Maya to be like, I need a fucking body cam, because what if she would have gotten like a felony, or, you know, that thing they can do where you can't enter airports, thinking of Maya's lifestyle. She travels, she lives international, you know, and just that quick. Because the lady felt like it is some Swedish racist ass, you know, that saw Maya with her husband and her dog chilling and didn't like it. And decided
that she'd break her ankle in them claws.
And then, you know, gate agents pulling up and making it the scene. And that's when Maya was like, I need a body cam, because they will be able to see that nothing that she said happened, which is something we've seen cops a million times claiming. Like, I just saw an article yesterday that a judge, I think it was in North Carolina, did y'all see that? He ran into protests, like drove through them, and then had a judge, mind you, okay, a judge, and had the nerve to say that they were running towards his car and like attacking him. But when they watched back those cameras, because there's cameras everywhere now, the people weren't even looking his direction. No one was even over there. He did this intentionally. But that's scary that people could say that. And it's like a white man's word against yours. So when Maya said she was getting the body cam, at first I thought she was nuts. But I was like, I get it. It'd be like that. Especially if you are someone that's going to speak up every time. Like, you're unfortunately put in that position.
I would wear a body cam, but I'll have to turn it off at certain points in my lifestyle. God, this some shit can't be on. Cut the camera. Dead ass.
You know what? That's the title of this week's episode.
Okay. Cut the cameras. Dead
ass.
Well, Mariah says it's private between you and I. Touch my body. Shit.
Asante, I feel like you were going to say something.
I know, I just really hate that that happened to you.
But
and I hate the fact that
us.
We as people, yeah, I was about to say the fact that we as people have to experience this on like different forms and different levels every day. If you go to work and you have to put shit to the side to get your shit done, don't feel too bad, but don't go down for all the bullshit. Because there are certain things, that's why I said earlier, there are certain things, you know, you can say or do. Like in your particular situation, friend, it's like, you can only go so far by making a scene on the plane, right? So it's like, really, what could you do? Especially like right now, like you could make that scene and other people could pull out their camera phones as evidence or whatever. But in the event that they just, you know, didn't decide to be with you because you're black or for whatever reason, now you are the one that's banned from the fucking airline. Like, what could you really do? So I don't want anybody at work to be like, you know what? I will go in there and curse out my racist boss, because you might work in an office full of racist people. And you should do that if you are willing to get another job or have something else on
right.
deck. But don't do that if you've been working there for years and, you know, that's what you're
doing. No, no, no. Do it. Just get your shit in order first. That's all.
Do it if you know how it's going to get you fired and you can still collect unemployment. See, there's always got to be a process, a method to when you're doing these things. And that comes with time. So if you are fighting right now, it's okay. Just study up so you can fight. And you don't always have to fight. Pick and choose your
and
battles.
That's real. That's real, because my mom, right? You know, my mom, and I won't share too much because obviously it's like her personal stuff, but mm-hmm. there was something that my mom had been a part of for a long chunk of her time of her life. And something happened where like a new person came in that just didn't like mm-hmm. my mom for whatever reason. And, you know, I've told you my mom is like a very strong presence. So she's someone that's polarizing as a being. Like, you either love her mm-hmm. and fuck with her super hard or you don't. It's like kind of no in between. And
like
she,
me.
Yeah, like some people are just very strong presence and like they command that type of energy. So she's that type of person. And so I was used to hearing stories of her beefing. Like, that's just kind of her thing, mm-hmm. as Jade would say, her zhuzh. But she bucked up one day and it just was the wrong person to buck at, because it ended up fucking over
something
yeah. that was so important to her. That she had worked her whole life, you know, to create and put together. And that one instance of her not being able to control it damaged so much for her. And when she looks back, she regrets it, you know, because she's like, I hate that in that moment I couldn't control how that person made me feel. And it like overpowered everything. And I hated that she got put in that position because it wasn't her fault. But it damaged her more than it damaged them. And so I think I like what you're saying, Asante. It's like you do sometimes have to assess, though, is it worth it? Like, what's the risk case? You know, like, is it worth it? Because do you give that person that moment that's going to actually pull from you more? And huge lesson in me growing up and seeing my mom having gone through that, you know, where I hated that for her because she had worked so hard for this opportunity, especially being an immigrant.
It was a great loss.
Vast, like, where to this day it's something that just doesn't leave her mind. And I hated seeing that. And so that's another thing, you know, it's like we get put in these positions, but we end up losing out more. And so is it always worth it?
You know what I like, though? Mm-hmm. There is some value in the fact that at least you can look back and be like, that's why I cussed that bitch the fucker. At least I cussed that motherfucker out. I ran that bitch good. And that's the thing. So although that loss was great, I guess there is some comfort in the fact that at least you know you got that.
They got checked.
You know what I'm saying? You got their ass. That's it. Because sometimes you just need something to make you feel better. So you know what I mean?
You just got to find
that. Yeah, you have to find that. That's why but at least I told that bitch. That's how you feel, you know?
But that's it. I don't want to drag it, but it's just something that I
feel. Didn't sit here and got mad about mama friend.
Honestly,
I don't play about friend or her mama.
Yeah, like it was something that was really heartbreaking to witness, especially because it's something that meant so much to her. And my mom having built from literally pulled from the mud, you know, so mm-hmm, that was a mm-hmm. lesson for me growing up to observe mm-hmm. and even her being able to reflect on the times that bucking up has actually worked against her because of the way society is structured. It's not structured to mm-hmm. our advantage. So we get poked at all day. And then they look at us like, ooh, mm-hmm. you savage, when we finally get crazy. Like, it's just unfair. It's unfair. And so I just, you know, was thinking about that. And obviously the story of the young woman sharing yesterday publicly, it just all felt so intense for me. Like, I was like, man, it's something that I felt I wanted to talk about and use as a backdrop to all of us kind of reflecting on the times that we've had to buck up and the times we haven't and how that's affected us. And it's just a lot. It's unfortunate. Like Asante was saying, it sucks that we're the ones that have to take that in, you know? And I'm curious, like I said, listeners, if you have found that balance. Do you find yourself exhausted because you're constantly battling? Are you more on the passive side, letting shit slide, but at home fucking raging? Like, what is it that you're experiencing? Because I would love to read your commentary on that. And that's it. That's it for this week's Hot Button.
This is the Friend Zone.
Hey, y'all. It's me again. Our relationships should add value to our lives, especially in the bedroom. So why don't we think the same way about our sex toys? Dame Products is a woman-owned sex toy company making the next generation of vulva-tested, vulva-approved vibrators. Founded by a sex educator and an engineering whiz, Dame develops toys with the help of real humans and couples. Now they're closing the pleasure gap and helping the world one vulva at a time. Dame's vibrators and accessories are made with medical-grade silicone, smart design principles, and lots of love. They've got a wide variety to choose from, like G-spot vibrators and sets for couples and even a set for when you're on the go that comes like a zippable cotton pouch. Dame products have earned glowing press from the New York Times and W Magazine and many more. They're great whether you're a couple looking for an extra boost or on a journey of self-exploration. Dame offers hassle-free returns within 60 days, so your satisfaction is literally guaranteed. Ain't nothing wrong with a little patootie for your booty, so don't feel bad about getting a sex toy. Ain't nothing wrong with that, and I love that Dame stands for it. So you go to dameproducts.com/friendzone today, and you get you 10% off with code friendzone. One more time, let's go to dameproducts.com/friendzone and get 10% off with the code friendzone. I love you.
Wouldn't it be great if there was a pocket-sized guide that helped you sleep, focus, act, be better? There is. And if you have 10 minutes, Headspace can change your life. Headspace is your daily dose of mindfulness in the form of guided meditations in an easy-to-use app. It's one of the only meditation apps advancing the field of mindfulness and meditation through clinically validated research. There are 25 published studies on Headspace's benefits, 600,000 five-star reviews, and over 60 million downloads. Need some help falling asleep? Overwhelmed? Headspace has wind-down sessions and 3-minute SOS meditations. There are even meditations for kids. Headspace works on your schedule, anytime, anywhere. You all know that we talk about safe spaces here, and there's no safer space than Headspace. If you need a place to talk to someone, just get something off your chest, or to just meditate and get everything out of your head, Headspace is the app for you. You deserve to feel happier, and Headspace is meditation made simple. Go to headspace.com/friendzone. That's headspace.com/friendzone. For a free 1-month trial with access to Headspace's full library of meditations for every situation. This is the best deal offered right now, so head to headspace.com/friendzone today. I'm in
the zone. Real good, friend. I like that.
Right? Real good. Real good. I feel like we haven't really gotten into like these types of combos in a minute. But yeah, so that's it. Let's bring in those wind chimes. So for... I love that y'all both automatically broke out into dance. So this one's really quickly. So I got inspired actually by our Discord. Shout out to our Discord community, our server.
I thought we was all in the same accord.
So I went to the wellness room yesterday and peeked in and was going back and forth with folks. And it was really cool to see how the wellness room had taken the shape of its own. People in there sharing products they love, the rituals they use. And it was like so cool because it reminded me of my Tumblr days, how I literally got started, where it wasn't that I came on as like an educator. Like it literally was me being like, I'm testing this out. And then people being like, oh, I'm gonna test that out. And then people being like, ooh, you should add this or take this out. And it just became that community of us being resources for each other. So it gave me that nostalgic feeling that I was like, oh man, I remember these like forum community board days. So it inspired me to want to add a new feature to the wellness segment just to kind of like tap into our community more, where I want to do once a month a listener curated wellness segment. Where
I love it.
Yeah, because Asante, a lot of the times in the emails you read, like when Dustin had the Frenchmen, was it, were they French, that died on the terrace and then someone schooled us?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and yes. Then a nurse or someone schooled us on like what could have happened and what it's called. And sort of that kind of planted the seed, and then seeing the Discord, like we really have a lot of people that are fucking smart as hell and have their own their own things to teach us and to share with us. So I wanted to grant that space and opportunity because I saw so many cool things. There are a lot of you that I follow on Twitter, especially in Instagram, because we've gone back and forth. And if I engage with you a lot on Twitter, I tend to follow you because I'm like your family at this point. If I've been talking to you for 10 years, and they've put me on to, like, I can tweet now. Dustin's face. I can tweet now. I can tweet now about, like, hey, who has advice on, like, a deep conditioner, you know, and people will pour back into me for the years I've poured into them. So it's cool.
I see you do that, too. Yeah. You do that, friend, and I love that.
And I'll ask, and they'll tell me.
I'll be trying to retweet it.
I'll see that sometimes. I'll be like, good looking out, Dustin. And it'll, all these new people will come in when Dustin tweets me looking for, like, some skincare tip, and then it's cool to me because they'll put me on. They put me on to a new deep conditioner and face mask and da da da. And so I was like, I want to do a curated once a month segment where I pick a listener who sent over something and sent their review, and it's something that we can check out or put to the test. Like someone, oh, I wish I had her at a young lady that I follow on Twitter. She tagged me to this machine that you attach to plants. Have y'all seen that? And when you're watering them, it's like an audio machine because plants have, you know, sound and vibrations and energy. And it actually like shows you the sound waves changing as you water them, when you talk to the plants. And it really, yeah, it's like I'd seen it because a lot of y'all had tagged me to it on Instagram when that new machine started circulating. But she like reminded me like I should order this and test it because she tweeted me the picture and it was a video of an actual. I feel like I want to find it, but I mean it might have been like weeks ago.
Yeah, because I got questions. There's some more preguntas on the piso today, baby. Because do we know, friend? What to do? You put it in the dirt of the plant?
No, you put it on the actual leaf. Yeah.
How do a machine attach to a leaf? This is getting crazy.
No, it's like an adhesive. Almost like the adhesive when people put it on your chest in the hospital. I don't know what those things are called.
Oh, yeah. The things that look like.
Yeah, you know what I'm talking about. And then they just attach that to the plant and you can hear the sound waves. Like, it's so fascinating. I have to buy it.
Not the plant on life's nub.
I'm like scrolling trying to find it so badly. But if I do find it, I'll tweet it out so that you guys can see it.
What's it called,
the
friend?
Plant thing? I don't know. I bet you just Google singing plant sounds. Hold on.
Plant
I'm trying
sound
to
machine.
It. Right. Something
like
in that
the Miami
world.
Sound machine.
Plant
that
wave?
That sounds about right.
Translates plant biorhythms into music.
Yeah.
Is that not the coolest?
What the hell?
Is that not
it meant
the coolest?
Eco-friendly finger waves.
Yeah, it
can
do
you
look
read
like
what
little
it says?
Stethoscope things. You
Does
put them
have
on
like
a leaf.
More of a description?
Plant wave detects how it works. Plant wave detects slight electrical variations in a plant via two electrodes placed on the leaves. These variations are graphed as a wave, which is translated into pitch messages that play musical instruments designed by our team. Other characteristics of the wave change the textural qualities of those sounds. The result is a continuous stream of pleasing music that gives you a sonic window into the secret
Hello.
Life of plants.
Is that not the coolest thing
cool.
in the world? And they showed a video. So the video that she tweeted me, it showed someone that I guess they had been kind of negligent with the plant and hadn't been on a consistent watering schedule. And then they put the sound, what is it called? The electrode on it. And then watered it, and you heard the song. Like, it's like it was so happy. Like, the plant was like, yay!
Like
Jabria.
A Pop Smoke record.
And I thought, this shit is so cool. I need to get this and talk about it on. And obviously, this is not a need. Like, people don't need this. But I love shit that's like that. It's just cool. It's interesting. The secret life of plants. I mean, who else wouldn't love some shit like that but me? So that's
not your
like,
plants sound like T-Boss. Every now and then, I get a little crazy.
Well, like there's Uncle actually Kevin. A lot of these out. Midi sprout.
What about your plants?
Plants
play. What were you saying?
The fact that this is like a thing, like there are like plantsplay.com. Like there are a lot of these like little plant players.
And that's what I was saying. Once they started gaining popularity, a lot of listeners were like, "Friend, you need this," which I love when y'all do that. Y'all be tagging me to really cool things. And that's what I'm saying. Y'all put me on.
This device is called Bamboo.
Is that
you need the Bamboo. The better that sounds like
right.
something for you.
So I want to open it, you know, to that. And feel free to send me it anywhere because y'all reach me. You know, I'm Hey Friend Hey across the board, whether it's IG DMs. Just don't comment on my pictures because sometimes I find that so random. Y'all would just be commenting on a random picture. Like, girl, this ain't got nothing to do with a plant. But send me a DM. Tweet me. My email is friend@heyfriendhey.com. Just as laughing because I know y'all be experiencing that too. The other day, somebody was like, I was watching Generation Hustle. Da, 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 and I'm like, girl, my picture with my plants. But I know y'all mean well. Y'all just trying to reach us. But friend@heyfriendhey.com. And obviously on Twitter, that's probably the fastest way.
Look, she listened like, but you read it though, didn't
she's
she?
She's like, but it worked.
She read
but I got through. But send me your reviews. And also let me know if I have permission to say your name, because that's another thing. A lot of y'all be in stealth mode. I ain't trying to put y'all out there. Let me know.
Respect it.
Should I read your handle? Should I read your name? Just make it very clear when you are sharing your reviews, your rituals, wellness practices that maybe you may have not heard me say yet that you want to put out there into our awareness. Whatever it is, y'all know what I like. Y'all know what I'm into. Y'all know what I want to share with the ecosystem. So I wanted to open that up to our community. And I think that that'll be fun and a kind of like a way to freshen up the wellness segment a little bit. Because I'm one person. I've done, 286 wellness segments. It's like, woo.
Wow.
Let's tap into the community so that we can make sure that I've covered all the bases. And that's it for this week's wellness segment.
I love the idea.
Right? I think it'll be, and it'll be cool too. We're going to get put on to some dope shit. So, Asante, Mr. Music Man, what you got for us this week?
Tap in. Tap in. All right. A lot has been happening in music. I'm going to be upfront honest with you.
Yeah.
Fran, go ahead and get your listens lately ready because, you know, I'm coming to you next. I have not listened to a lot of the new stuff. I do have enough songs for the listens lately later. But just to go on ahead and let you all know, off rip, off jump, Nicki Minaj is back. Okay. Nicki Minaj is back.
Okay? La Miki.
She has re-released her. She has dropped her Beat Me Up Scotty mixtape actually on streaming services now, because previously it was just available in the streets, you know, if you had them. But she's also added some new songs
to
it. The song that I just can't stop listening to, and I know everybody has their opinions about who did the best on it, but Seeing Green, I've been listening to over and over and over again, and everybody did the shit on that song. Honestly, Lil Wayne always comes hard. Nicki did her thing, and then Drake
they watched
it too.
Her, but it's all
but
good.
But I really... They really did, but I think because I've missed Nicki for so long, it was just great to hear her back and have her back on her season doing what she does. So I'm excited. I will venture to say that Nicki is a heavy hitter in hip hop. So whenever she comes, it's like a season is coming, a rush is coming. Everyone knows that I enjoy female hip hop. It is one of the, I want to say it's one of the forefronts of the Friend Zone podcast, honestly, because we talk about a lot of female rappers on here. But Nicki Minaj will always hold her place. And she's back to tell y'all that my place is still here. So Nicki Minaj, I await more music. I await more visuals. I await more bars. I await more moments. Everything that comes with a Nicki run, a run of Nicki, if you will. So it's exciting because quarantine was everybody, you know, doing their at-home performances and things like that. So I'm excited to see what Nicki's going to bring us, if she's going to bring us any of that energy leaving, or if she's just going to go right to the big show like she always does. So I just had to start there because I very, very much love that mixtape. And it's back to see it with a new life. And one last thing. You Barbs have got to calm down, you younger Barbs. I saw a tweet about somebody saying, I can't believe she was talking about Cardi on this song. Cardi was nowhere near a thought of Nicki Minaj when this mixtape was a thing. You know what? Oh, did y'all see? Right. Did anybody see any of this? That's
like way beyond it.
The don't be acting like a cardinal and gonna fumble.
No, that's line. What people. Oh, that's. Stop it. I know Nicki must hate that.
It might have been a joke.
Like, okay, not everything's a shot.
It might have been a joke. I hope it was a joke tweet. It was funny if it was. But what I will say is, and this might be me reaching, but I have a vivid imagination. I would love to see, and it doesn't have to be a forced thing. So if it doesn't come this season, and gots to. But one day I would love to see a Nicki Minaj Cardi B record and, you know, anybody else that they feel is relevant at the time. Just because they're both moms now and they're both doing this thing and they both look great under the big light. So that's why I would like to see them together. It doesn't have to happen. But if it does, it would be a sweet treat for me. Female unity in hip hop. It would be like, oh yeah, we did motorsport, but here we are now. That's really it. That's all the things that I wanted to talk about. I will let you all do your listens lately first before you can obviously share any opinions that you have. And then I will share my listens lately. So Fran, I would like to start with you. What is on your heart? What is on your playlist? What you been listening
to? So I'm looking and I'm like, why doesn't it look like I haven't been listening to anything? I think...
Right, it feels like music's kind of like been happening around.
Like a lot of stuff has dropped, but I think I'm still on Shelly, FKA Drum. Like we talked about that last week, and I'm still sitting with it. So I can't really say. I do want to shout out Amorphis because he dropped his first single, his debut single featuring Kehlani. And that song, right, which is insane because we literally saw him get it out the mud via Twitter and is now about to absolutely 1,000% debut on Billboard charts. And the song is called Back Together. And actually, let's play it. Let's show him some love, him and Kehlani. And this is how it goes. Imagine him in a studio like I'm really working on my first single with Kehlani. Like that's gotta be like, surreal because I know so he mentioned how much she means to how much they mean to him, and I thought that was just cool that he really got that opportunity. Like life is insane, so cool to witness. Congratulations, and I'm here for it. It's a beautiful track. Kehlani sounds amazing as always.
Feels like warm weather.
Right. He posted a picture with Victoria Monet. Did you see that? I was like,
yes, I did see it. Look, was gonna love it.
Yeah, I have not let go of Jaguar. Like anything Victoria puts out, I'm in. So the fact that he may have a second single with her, at least that's what I'm gonna project and assume. Or at least they got together with their pens. Whatever it is, it's gonna be good. So he's already hitting 10, 10, 10. Oh, I watched Legendary, but I'll wait for the TV. I just said that because of the 10, 10, 10. It made me think of it.
Because you did what to be needed done. To be done. All right, Dustin Ross, what you got? What you been listening to?
This song is called Blue Ego by Sean Ross.
Oh, shit, yes.
For the rest of it.
Yo, that production is
shout out to Rush Davis. Yeah. Blue Ego, dope song. Shout out to Sean Ross. Next song I'm gonna play is called Pump It Up. Here's the News by MC Hammer.
Yo, pump it up. It's time for the news. Yo, we getting ready to bring you the news, boy. You need to know it. It's time. I lose all odds against me. Went through those suckers who dissed me. Now, I'm standing proud, hyping the crowd. Buzz my style, I got wild.
Well, MC, how many you driving wild?
Peep it out, don't you have no doubt. I got the rhythm, the beat, the bank, the dance, and the clout.
Yeah, hear my man, you stacking your dollars, man.
So, bust the move, you need to improve. On a serious tip, boy. You in the wrong room,
you're wrong.
You're sucking, you in the wrong room, boy. Whoever said you were smooth, they lied. They tried to lie to get you on by that bogus joke. I just couldn't buy. I take none, don't run. Perpetrate, no sir.
Why is that the jam like that, right?
That was a mood. Wait, what was the Sean Ross, the title, the song
blue,
title?
Blue Ego.
Got it. Because I just like I pulled it up and it's a whole album. I was like, which one is it? All right, got it.
Yep. And then the last song that I'm going to play. I'm about to put y'all up on a little something by Goose Goose called Stay the Ride. Check it out. Been in Brooklyn.
I was like, Dustin's reminded me of the when you see the EDM DJs in Ibiza and they be like,
yeah,
that's what you look
like this, Fred.
Yes, exactly. Their little like subtle bops, so cute. I'm with it. You outside.
Shout out to Thumbing by Cash Dial. That's it. Outside vaccinated, baby.
For my picks, I went to everybody. I mentioned this song before, but I'm only going to play it again just so you can remember how much of a bop it is, because this artist is releasing a video. But this artist, her name is Gwen Bunn. She has a song with Faith Evans, and it's called Between the Lines. And the song's been out for a minute, but she's now finally giving us the visual for it. So for those of you that are not familiar with the song, I am going to play it for you, and this is how it goes. It's just like a little clip in the middle.
Change how I feel when you're around. Every little thing is an issue. And then you're far away and I miss you. Look at all the things that we've been through. Now it's too late. turn around.
Baby, I'm in love with you. And I promise that I always will be there for you. No need to worry about nothing, no.
So yeah, that's Gwen Bunn featuring Faith Evans.
Oh, shit. Yeah, yeah. Oh.
He was like,
I thought that was the girl Gwen. I was like, damn, she sounds just like Faith. Like, her voice is crazy. That's dope.
I love Faith's voice, man. So yeah, you know,
love Faith's voice.
Some artists have that kind of range and can hit that, but it's something about the tone. Like, she just hits my chest anytime. And she takes it up. I'm like, ooh. Oh, Faith, I love you. I love your voice.
Yes.
What a joy.
What a wonder. What a collaboration. There is an artist named R.O.E. Roe. Have you heard of her?
No, let me see.
Maybe versus Wade.
Which may be overturned soon.
So Ro, this young lady, she put out a project. It is called My Way.
Bro.
And she looks
she's
gorgeous.
So
there, yeah. Isn't she pretty? Lovely looking young lady put out a 7-song project. I think there were a couple of these might have been singles, but one of the songs that was released outside of this project that is on this project is called Fool for You. And I heard this song, and there are a lot of good songs on this project, but I just want to pull ones that people should be familiar with if they aren't. And if they aren't, then, you know, this way, if you ever go to a show or something, you can be like, oh, I know that one too. So, you know, just listen to the album and like them all, or the ones that aren't the hits. So this is Roe, R-O-E, and this is Fool
for You.
Can I
tell you one thing before you play it?
Yeah, of course.
Every song I've ever heard called Fool for You has been incredible. So I have really high expectations.
Uh-oh.
Go ahead.
Tell me what it means to fall in love. Cause I got the answers. I got no availability. And it's all because of us. Taking my time, controlling my mind. Stuck in the pain and the past. Fuck you the way that you act. How you act? One of them five reckless attraction. You light me up like a match. And now I'm falling face forward. Feel like I'm falling back for you.
Yeah, it's something about like women when they have like that like low and then that sultry, like it's just something
she
really, really lovely
how
about
she
her
looks.
Voice. So
it's just all very pretty. Yeah.
Yeah. Yes. Yes.
Nothing
so that's Ro.
I love that.
Hey. That's Ro featuring Fran. Hey, Fran. Hey.
I want Fran on No More. Woo. I want you to get on the remix to No More Parties by Coi Leray, Fran.
What?
Yeah, now you would go off. Hell yeah.
She that little say, baby.
You trying to eat off my plate? Trying to eat off me? Numb to the pain.
You know oh my what? God, did you see people being mean to her on Twitter? Somebody was like, thank God Nicki's back. Y'all was giving Coi Leray too much attention. She was like, I am not a rapper, y'all.
How was that?
I was like, that's so mean.
Yeah, that's what I was like.
I did wonder.
You think she's numb to the pain?
What?
I will say, and this is not shade. I know y'all be thinking it's shade. But when I first heard her record, because Asante, I feel like you put me on. I was like, let me listen to this girl and see what the hoopla is, because you see her name everywhere. And then I did wonder what she considers herself. Like, is it rap? Is it singing? Are we talking? I just was not. It's a different genre. Like, kids nowadays don't really have to have vocals. They can talk in a cool enough way to ride the beat, and it's like a song. So I wonder what that's called. Because she even said it. She's like, I'm not a rapper. I think she's not a singer. She's a creative. I'm like, okay.
She says she's an artist.
An artist. Yeah.
Yeah. No, you're right. You're absolutely right, friend. That's not shady
genre.
Because that like has been a long.
It's a question.
It's a question. Yeah, that's been like a long-term like conversation that's been ongoing that no one's ever like put any answer to. So
like, what do we
I
call
hope that
it?
People just allow people to be themselves.
And people try to say that about Janae, but I actually disagree. I think Janae can sing.
She's a singer.
Mm-hmm. Like those runs and her technical ability, she might not hit you with like a powerhouse vocal, but you can't say the girl can't sing. Like, come on.
You don't think I was about to say Janelle Monáe. You don't think Janae Aiko can sing And I Am Telling You from Dreamgirls?
Okay, well.
She can.
So I don't even know how we got there.
Just ask.
I don't even know why that was a. What?
Just ask.
I hope
she puts that out just off the strength. And I.
Okay, this is a good conversation though, right? Because what do you classify Fetty Wap as? Because I think Fetty Wap can fucking sing. I don't care what nobody says. Think about My Way. He be singing the shit out of My Way, man. Fetty Wap can sing. I don't give a damn.
I will honor that you feel that way.
Thank you.
No, you know, I mean, that is fair because that also makes me think about... that makes me think about R&B artists too. And then if they do something a little too alternative or disco or something, people are like, is this still R&B? Yeah. So it's like, I think about the genre bending and the blurring of lines all the time. And I have personally chosen to let people do what they do. But before I get too far away, the fact that you mentioned Coi Leray has me down because I talked a couple weeks about So Icy Girls, Gucci Mane's group. So they're a duo and they put out music separately too. And Enchanting, the smaller girl of the two, sorry, I hope that's not offensive, but the younger dark skinned girl of the two, I guess, she raps from what I know of the group. And I didn't know if anything before. And literally, I was just doing this before we recorded the show and I wasn't going to talk about this. But since you mentioned Coi Leray and they had just put this song out, they have a new song out called Freaky Deaky. But Enchanting, the girl from So Icy Girls, she actually has a really good singing voice, and you would never know that from her being a rapper in this group. I just found that to be very interesting.
She sings on this new track?
I'm not going to play any of it. No, she doesn't. I was listening to it, and then I guess Spotify just played me like her old stuff instead of, you know, the singles she's been releasing. And somebody was singing, and I'm like, who is this featured on the song? And I guess they played it because the song, Coi is singing on the song. So they were like, well, let me play another singing song from this artist. And I had no idea she sang. So shout out to Enchanting. You need to get that singing voice back in some of these records or on the record. Or I guess if you just want to rap like a whispering nigga, that swag also works for me too. But I know a lot of people hate it. So
it's
I'm
interesting because I feel like I a lot of people have more to offer, but rather play into the sound of today. Stop it, Dustin. Everything. serious. So I feel like they can do more, but they want to play into these. You know what?
Fran, she's singing. She said, how I get that? That's singing, Fran. Bitch, you put. That's singing, Fran.
Listen.
Okay. I'm going to just talk about one last thing. Teacher Moses has a new song called Make Me. Make sure y'all go listen to that.
A singer, to be exact.
Your singer's favorite.
I just
want to
talk about that and make sure yes, Teacher Moses, go listen to that.
Oh, hold on.
That's all for a music band segment.
Play that teacher. Teacher Moses song.
All right, so this is Teacher Moses. This is Make Me.
We ain't gotta make it complicated. Either you want it or you don't. Love me or you won't. But I won't wait. Cause I don't wait. You say I'm on your mind. Well, then call me on the phone. Tell me what you own. Pop up on the real one time. If I'm really on your mind, show me now.
So yeah, that's Teacher Moses. That's Make Me.
Press stop on our recording.
Yes.
Wow.
I'm telling you, Teacher Moses, she's a vibe. That's a vibe. That's really why I wanted to end it there. But because I just had this one last thing, and then I promise you, it's going to just actually segue in the TV Land segment. I was really pleased. and don't take this seriously, but I was really pleased to see Skye Townsend on the Black Lady Sketch Show. And they did a skit, and I've always loved Skye Townsend. She has put out like skits on the internet over the years, pretending mm-hmm. to be like Beyonce and stuff like that. So it's good to see her on TV in a place where her comedy efforts can be celebrated and enhanced as well. Okay. So they did a skit on there. I don't want to ruin it. It's for anybody that wants to watch. So for any of y'all that have seen it, you might be familiar with the song, but this song is called Air, and it's Skye Townsend. It's Skye Townsend. Okay. The song is ridiculous.
How many of y'all breathe air?
Every time I wake, I'm woke. Every time I blaze, I smoke. Every time I pray, it's prayer. And every time I breathe, it's air. All I breathe is air. Anytime I open my eyes, I see. Breathe with me, see with me. Breathe with me, see with me. Every time I step, I walk. Every time I speak, I talk.
Love that you know the words already. Wait, so I can't
because that skit
so I was
like,
I can't. Yes. I can't.
Listen, if Miguel can do it, because y'all know in that one song, Miguel was singing the vowels. He was like,
"Who the hell produced it? Sesame Street."
So this is on the show.
But
this
skit,
was on the show as part of the skit.
This is on the show, and it's part of one of the skits, and she's performing. So in context, it's really, really fucking funny. But Skye Townsend is hilarious to me. So her doing all that, and it was very reminiscent of Avocados. So I thought it was a cute little skit. So shout out to Skye Townsend. Shout out to Robert Thede and everybody over at Black Lady Sketch Show. And that is the segue, because we are done with the Music Man segment, and that's the segue to TV Land. So Dustin Ross, what have you been watching? But first, I want to hear Fran's questions about Portia.
I'm gonna wait till he gets there.
All right.
No, we can let's start there, right? Because the show's off the air, so there's nothing to even discuss about The Real Housewives of Atlanta.
We
can actually go straight to the reunion was last week, so we can actually go straight to the Portia scandal. It's no secret that she has announced that she stole Fallon Gubadia's husband Simon. After their divorce, Portia announced that they had been in a relationship for a month, and that's her nigga. She got a big rock on her finger.
So that's
what
my question.
She said her.
Mm-hmm. Were they actually friends?
Portia said no. Portia said that they're not friends. People like Tammy Roman and Nene Leakes have supported that by saying that although on the screen we saw them in the lower third say, you know, Fallon, Portia's friend. And we saw Portia go into her house and her say, you know, this is my husband, Simon. And she shook Simon's hand when Fallon said, this is my husband, Simon. And they talked and stuff. We saw Portia and him having that conversation at their house. Portia was in their house. And so we saw Portia in their house talking to this lady and her husband in their house. And so next thing we know, Portia is at her house with Fallon's husband and Portia's baby daddy. And she announced that they were in a relationship. And she has a humongous emerald diamond ring on her finger. It's been estimated at like between $750,000 and $1 million in value. His estimated net worth is $40 million. Jesus. Serial entrepreneur, successful entrepreneur. Bit too attention seeking for my behalf, for my taste.
I saw you tweet that where you felt like he was talking too much.
He reminds me of Tamar's dirty ass ex-boyfriend, David, whatever his name, Adefeso, I believe was his last name. He was a rat, and he looked like a rat, and he turned out to be a dirty, low-down rat in the street. And I hope that Simon is not like that, because for other, you know, all other reasons, he's a filthy rich guy that, of course, is smitten with Portia. So, anything else you want to know?
I mean, honestly, that was my biggest question. I'm like, is that her friend? Because we also know on those shows, they don't really be friends. They just bring each other on and call each other that. And I know that from LaToya, you know? So I'm like, I know she was a nobody's friend. Like, So it just they set it up how they need to. So that's why I was like, is that her friend? Is she getting killed? Yeah, she getting killed over this one. It's really just like someone that got brought on the show. But I agree, it's shady regardless because like you are in their house. Like, I get that part. I get that part.
And that's I think is the part that's
the bottom line.
Hard for people to kind of, you know what I'm saying, really take. But you know, shout out to Portia because hey, you do what you got to do, and she did that. And that's the way of the world. That's how it works. I remember when my daddy's cousin, who was like my uncle, his wife died. She's like an aunt to us. Very sweet, very like nurturing. She's like a second mother to me. And I remember when she passed away, we were 16 years old, and a bunch of the women who set up in the church with them, after in her death, tried to get with her husband. Like blatantly.
You hear that all the time.
Women was bringing them over to the house, all that kind of shit. And I remember seeing that at 16, understanding that was inappropriate, that, you know, those women were crossing a line of, you know, it just was inappropriate to me. And and to this day, if I seen some of them old windbags walking down the street, I probably would just look the other way real hard and mean, you know what I'm saying? Because I just, to this day, I just don't trust them. So that happens a lot.
This is
us. That's what's going on.
Do y'all watch This Is Us at all?
Oh yeah, she got with his low down ass friend. Yep.
And it's just like normal. And I'm like, every time he comes on screen, I'm like, am I the only one that thinks this is so odd? Look at this face. It reminds me.
I'm telling you, like I can't stand it. So. But that's the Portia story.
Okay.
She has defended it. She said that they are in love. And today I saw a clip from her on Dish Nation. I guess it was yesterday or either earlier this morning when she was saying that she prayed for a man like that. And God said, here he is.
Wow.
That's what she said. So.
I mean, you seen that tweet where it said, don't stop yourself from, what is it, from someone else's husband? Y'all know that tweet that circulates everyone. The love of your life may be someone else's husband right now. That's what the tweet is.
Did you see her? They got all kind of memes and shit. Her standing in front of a Porsche car ad talking about move fast, move faster. And then
stop
it's like
it.
Her standing next to a Porsche. It's all kind of shit.
Now,
do you think,
okay, one last question. Do you think in that scene where they're meeting, do you think they actually were meeting, or is this something that was happening then already?
I think they were meeting. Okay. I think they were meeting in that scene. That's when she met him.
Because I saw people acting like, I think Claudia Jordan had alluded to the fact that they had, that this was like a long-term thing, so that they knew each other.
Well, longer than Portia is saying is what it was alluded to.
Got
you know
you.
What I'm saying? Longer than the month. Month? 1 month? Longer than the 1 month that Portia is saying, you know, it took. So
it looks weird to me too, because I think there was a storyline happening where they were trying to make it seem like Portia knew Fallon because Dennis knew Simon. So it's like Portia and Dennis knew Simon, and that's how she was tied to Fallon. But that was still weird to me because it was like, so are Dennis and Simon like trading you off? Like,
even that
because the way that they're like being. I mean, even there's something positive to be said about how amicable it all looks, but then it's kind of weird too because of the times. So it's kind of hard to really like make room for it for me for it to be okay, I guess. Like, I guess ultimately I don't really give a fuck, but when I look at it, it's like weird that.
Ain't nothing right with Portia getting with that man that she knew was with that woman. There are pictures.
Well, that
there
woman
are
is tweeting like she's okay.
You to save face. There are pictures
of that
woman. There are pictures of Portia. I believe her sister or either Shamia. Forgive me because I can't remember who the third person is. And Fallon. Fallon is there out at a club partying. Fallon has her hand on Portia's knee.
They're
out getting to know each other, y'all. Come on,
now,
y'all.
Now, how long have Portia and Dennis been apart?
They never really have been apart. They've been off and on.
Yeah,
you get what I'm saying? So we were still unclear about that. Not that it's any of our business, but as far as like
just
viewers of the show. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I get it. So that's why everybody's going crazy. I get it. I mean.
Okay.
When you put your love
life
out
there. And
I hope
we gain some clarity in this three-part special.
We're moving on to other TV news. Abbott Elementary on ABC, which is the new comedy scripted comedy series from Quinta Brunson.
Quinta.
It's Quinta. 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 Okay. Mm-hmm. Like the hotel, the Quinta. Quinta Brunson has a new comedy series called Abbott Elementary. Man. And the trailer, it looks so funny. When I tell you, it's coming from me, y'all. Mm-hmm. It's her, Shirley Ralph, Tyler James Williams. Who else was in that first clip that I saw? All these actors that you recognize. Yeah. It's set in an elementary school. It looks absolutely hilarious. Okay.
I believe it.
I cannot wait for this show.
She's a part of it.
I cannot wait.
Yeah, she has that. She has that. Yeah, she's like, you know how some actors just know what fucking project to pick? I feel like she has that.
I can't wait. One other good thing to speak about is the series Queens that's coming out to ABC with Naturi Naughton, Eve, Brandy, and another actress. I can't remember her name, but they play a group that was 20 years into their career, and then they get back together and they have to figure out how to, you know, navigate the industry and all the other shit. Did you guys see the trailer clip that they showed?
I literally just saw it right before we recorded. It just dropped on my timeline. And I was curious about the young lady that you didn't name, because I was like, I wonder what made them pick.
She was gorgeous,
three
too.
Three celebs and then a new person. Unless she's just new to us. Maybe she's been out here. I don't know. But
Nadine
Velasquez. I was like, it's interesting that they didn't just go for four names just straight up, you know? I was just curious. But it looks interesting. I don't know. I'm going to watch it.
I'm going to watch it. And it looked interesting to me too, Fran. I'm going to watch
it. Yeah, I was like,
but
okay.
I love the fact that Eve kept it moving. She got on down from the talk. She said, you, Sharon, your bad eating ass husband, all of you motherfuckers, y'all, fuck y'all, I'm out of here. And she went over to ABC and got back into her acting game, which I love. Naturi Naughton, another
already
fucking series. Like, I love the fact that she's, oh my God. And remember, she was on the Playboy Club on NBC. Then now she did Power,
Success,
still on Power. Now she is on.
It got canceled early, but
she was
great.
Good
on there.
I just love her acting as an actor. I love the fact that she's continued to work. I believe in, like, I just like to see people win like that. Mm-hmm. And in that little trailer clip, the way she was looking when they were sitting at that table talking about getting back together, she was like, it just looked funny. Like, it looked, I'm like, I'm going to enjoy her in this.
And Brandy.
I can't wait to watch that. I've seen that
and
trailer.
Brandy.
They didn't really have her in the trailer. Why?
And Brandy. Well, I love Brandy. I love Brandy, period. And I love Brandy as an actor. So I'm on board with this.
I'm excited to see Brandy on screen again. Like,
me too, because she was great on Star, which I still have residual, you know, pain. I'm still upset about Star.
It's funny you're mentioning Star.
Yeah, I still rewatch Star.
The tweet that I saw posting this trailer said, this is going to be a replacement for the void in their heart that Star left. So
I'm going to see.
Yeah. I still listen to that music from Star.
Me too. I'm still mad. Shit.
Y'all really love
Lee
that
Daniels
show.
Hell yeah. That was my shit. I'm still pissed off because it didn't deserve to end. And it was great. It was great television. And I'm mad as hell. Yes.
People always told me, they always said, if it's one thing that you'll love about Star, it's the music. And they always said that to me, and it didn't start to click for me until that Keke Palmer song got hot. And then from there, Dustin was like, you got to watch the show. Like, Dustin was like, the show. And so after watching the show had some really good fucking moments. There were some great conversations happening in it. Even though it was ridiculous or whatever, like, nobody wants that shit to be super heavy when they tackle certain subject matters. And especially when you're viewing it from a Black lens, too, a lot of that shit is kind of as a matter of fact. And so I loved the writing on Star. I actually loved the music from Star. And I don't think this is going to be a replacement for Star, but I'm still very excited about this.
Me
because
too.
I do love Eve. And I'll be watching her her old show on HBO Max. It's the shit. She's still
And the last Shelly. Thing on TV I want to talk about is old Pumbaa looking ass Angela Stanton, who was on Dr. Phil with
like,
her
who?
Transgender daughter, JB. Right?
Not a son. I die every time he does this.
She was on Dr. Phil with her transgender daughter, JB's. And she was just a complete nightmare. insufferable on the stage. Her daughter, her other daughter, who I believe was like 11 or 12, was so smart, so well-spoken, trying to reason with her mother. Dr. Phil was completely exhausted. They had another person who in the audience who was offering commentary and context to the conversation. She was exhausted. It was a train wreck to watch. And I could not believe how brazen and bold and hateful she was in the things that she was saying
to her child. So they were there because she's at odds.
They were there because their relationship is completely estranged. Oh. You know, Angela Stanton King, and the King is on the end of her last name because Martin Luther King Jr.'s niece is her godmother. So she put King on the end of her name as she went through her political aspirations, okay. Which, by the way, she got her ass whipped by the Democratic congresswoman in Georgia who beat her ass, the final vote tally was like 14.1% or 14.9% to 85.1%. So she got washed. It was a landslide. Shit. Because she's not good enough. Right. Anyway, I take a deep dive into this on our Patreon channel. So look forward to that coming up. Mm-hmm. But I just want you guys to know Angela Stanton is literally the scum of the earth. Mm. And if you watch this and then you watch the Instagram live video that she went into after she left the set that day when they originally shot that episode, you'll see exactly why I say that. So go on Dr. Phil's YouTube channel and watch that episode and then go on YouTube and look up Angela Stanton's live after Dr. Phil. And it'll all make sense, and we'll talk about it again some other time, probably on Patreon.
I'm gonna watch it. I didn't even know
TV Land this week.
I didn't know Dr. Phil was still a thing. That's pretty wild out here.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so cool.
All right, well, that's it for us this week. This was a really good show. I love you guys as always.
Love you too.
Thank you guys for listening. We love you guys, and we'll catch you guys next week.
Stay black and protect your magic.
Bye. So many non-dairy flavors, so little time. Ben & Jerry's has 5 new non-dairy frozen desserts made with your favorite dairy alternatives. Tonight Dough, Americone Dream, Caramel Sutra, Fish Food, or Colin Kaepernick's Change the World lead the pack as the 5 new non-dairy flavors the Ben & Jerry's flavor gurus have whipped up for us. Check out Ben & Jerry's new non-dairy options as well as the whole non-dairy family at benjerry.com. And y'all know I've been eating non-dairy ice cream for a long time and they usually taste terrible. But Ben & Jerry's turned that around for me and I am back to eating ice cream because these flavors that they sent us the last time we worked with them hit. Remember, Dustin could not stop talking about that creme brulee. So, and a lot of y'all went out and got it and agreed on that cosign. So benandjerrys.com.